Some years ago now, the great classical pianist, Polish classical pianist, Ignaz Paderewski, was going to be giving a concert in New York City. So there was this young mother who had a little boy about 7 years old who just was beginning to play the piano. A couple of lessons, loved it. And he loved to sit down and listen to piano music in front of the stereo. So she thought to herself, well, this would be really inspirational for him. I'll bring him to this concert. So she bought very good tickets right down front. They got to the theater a half hour early. And this is true, you know, at most concerts, people are chatting and talking and so forth. And so they sit down, the little boy sits down next to his mother, and she sees a friend of hers, and she goes to talk to the friend, and they're chatting. And she doesn't realize the little boy, who's very inquisitive, gets up to kind of do a little exploring. The lights go down in the theater, she sits down, doesn't realize that he's not there. The curtain opens. What does she see? The piano on the stage. Sitting at the piano bench is her little son. He made his way up into the back of the stage. He's sitting there, plinking out, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." Well, before she can get up and get him, who comes out on the stage with Paderewski? Walks over, looks down at the little boy, bends down and whispers in his ear, "Keep playing." He reaches around the little boy with one arm to the bass. He starts adding a bass. Reaches around him with the other arm. Starts playing a running tenor obbligato. I'm not saying that word right, whatever it is. But starts playing. And then for the next 3 or 4 minutes, Paderewski, the little boy, play a classical version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. When they're done, the whole, you know, theater goes up and just applaud, marvelous applause. Now I bet if you were to ask people who were at that concert that night what classical pieces of music Paderewski played, they couldn't remember. I bet they remember Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Well, I share that with you this morning, because I think that's a wonderful image of the way the Holy Spirit works in the church. Holy Spirit enfolds us with his arms, with his love. Takes our poor little efforts, things that we don't think can ever possibly succeed, fills in, gives us the grace, the power, and the strength we need to make something beautiful. Spirit engulfs us, enfolds us, surrounds us, gives us the power we need. You know, this morning when we hear that gospel, the first reading of the Holy Spirit descending in the tongues and the flames and all that, that's so familiar to us. It's kind of like water off a duck's back. But think what's happening here. A church is being formed. In the power of the Spirit, the church is coming to life. The church is being born through the efforts of some very strange characters. Well, think about the first apostles. Who were they? You know, some of you probably might remember years ago there was a country comedian by the name of Jeff Foxworthy. He had some wonderful little sets, and one of them was on whether or not, how you might know you're a redneck. How would you know if you're a redneck? For example, he would say, "You might be a redneck if when you go to the dump, you come back with more than what you left off. Or you might be a redneck if you walk your child to school every day because you're in the same grade." Poking, you know, fun on basically country, unsophisticated people. Well, the reason I mentioned that this morning is that that's exactly who the first apostles were. They were the Jewish rednecks of their day. Unsophisticated, unlearned, rough people. No, we see in this morning, for example, the crowds are amazed to hear them speaking all these languages because they say they're all Galileans. the Galileans, the roughnecks from up there, the rednecks from up there in that part of Israel. And remember the night that Jesus was on trial. Peter's out in the courtyard. He gets accused of being one of Jesus' followers. He says, well, why would you say that? And they say to him, because your language gives you away. We know you're a Galilean. You must be one of his followers. So they were, the Galileans were the Jewish rednecks. How could the church come to existence through them? How could that be possible? Because the Spirit of God empowered them. The Spirit of God reached down, surrounded them with his power, and gave them what they needed. There was a wonderful old legend, just a legend, about Jesus getting back to heaven after the ascension. And the angels are all rejoicing, and Gabriel comes over to Jesus and says, Lord, you know, you did some wonderful things down on earth, but how's all that gonna, you know, get out there now? How are you gonna, people on earth, how are they gonna find out and know what you did and understand it and so forth? And Jesus says, well, I left Peter and James and John and Nathaniel down there, and they're gonna spread the word. Gabriel, knowing who these people were, the rednecks, says, well, Lord, what if they don't succeed? You have a backup plan. Jesus says, no, there is no backup plan. And they will succeed. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. The power of the Spirit of God at work. Just think about that. All through the ages. How many times is the church on the edge of extinction? Wars, violence, internal corruption even, sinfulness. Church was doomed, except it wasn't. The Spirit of God brought new life, brought renewal, brought change. Spirit of God at work to keep the message alive. Even in our own lives, isn't it true? We probably all have had situations where we wondered how we're gonna get through. How could I deal with this problem? Maybe I failed at some point. I wonder, can I ever get up again? Can I start again? How do we get through those things? Even if we didn't realize it, it was the Spirit of God at work, reaching down, enfolding us, helping us to build what we needed to build. Not without effort, perhaps, but the Spirit of God at work, even in our own individual lives. I came across a little poem I'd conclude with this morning, written by the Mexican poet and mystic, he's a mystic, named Amado Nervo. It goes like this. Alone, we are only a spark, but in the spirit, we are fire. Alone, we are only a string, but in the spirit, we are a lyre. Alone we are only an anthill, but in the spirit we are a mountain. Alone we are only a drop, but in the spirit we become a fountain. Alone we are only a feather, but in the spirit we are a wing. Alone we are only a beggar, but in the spirit we are a king. That's the Spirit reaching down into our world, into our church, into our own lives, wrapping his arms around us, giving us what we need. That's why this morning we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Holy Spirit of God, enfold us in your arms. May God bless you.